Vic, you want to come on over here? There you go. Number one, so that there's these five things that we think we say baptism represents. Number one, it's the picture of a bath. Number two, it's a picture of a funeral. Number three, it's a picture of a resurrection. Number four, it's a picture of it, of the Exodus. And number five, it's a statement. It's a sign of my intent. So we're going to go through these real quick, all right? So first of all, it's a bath. And the Bible says, is that working for you? There we go, next one. All right. So the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, actually, he says that. And then he gives a big long list in verse 10 of all these sinful behaviors. And then he comes into verse 11 and he says, and such were some of you. In other words, it doesn't matter how sinful we are, we can all come into this personal relationship with Christ. And he says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So when we come into this relationship with Christ, the first part is, it's a picture of a baptism that he washes us, that you are washed. In other words, he washed away all that sin and he made us white as snow. And so that's the first big picture. The second one is that it's a funeral, right? Romans chapter 6 and verse 2 and 3. How can we who died, what happened? Went the wrong way? There you go. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So in other words, he's saying that when we die to self. In other words, we're no longer living for us, but we're living for Christ. And so in our baptism, this is one of the reasons why we use immersion, because we bury people. And we do bring them up, but that's the resurrection part, right? And so the whole point is that that's part of what the visualization with baptism by immersion is, that we are dying to self. We are being buried, and we are dying to self so that we can live to Christ. You can just sit with your husband for a few minutes. Yeah, not yet. Okay, we'll get you. All right, and then it's a picture. So that's the picture of the funeral. And then it's also the picture of the resurrection. And that's the good news, is because we pull them out of the water again. I've seen some baptism when my wife and I were taking a bit of a vacation in Hawaii once. And as we came back from church on a Sunday morning, there was this church down on the beach baptizing all these people. And they had like two or three pastors at once baptizing all these people. And it was something I had never seen before, because it's like when they put them under the water, they left them there for a while. And I thought, whoa, I've never seen that before. These people are going to be pretty excited about getting out of there. So yeah, but that's the whole idea, is that then there was this resurrection. Romans 6, 4 and 5, for we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So it's this whole thing about identifying with Christ. And that we are, when we surrender our life to him and we die to self, then we're died and there's a resurrection. And in that resurrection, we are also being identified with him in the promise of life eternal with him. Number four, the Exodus. So baptism is also a picture of the Exodus. So when you think about the Old Testament Exodus, you had Egypt, which is a picture of the world. And then there was the passing through the water into the promised land. Essentially, that was the whole original intent, because the Israelites sort of messed it up. They didn't get to go, but right away. But it was the Exodus became a picture of, the Exodus is actually a picture again of what our baptism is, as we pass through the water into a new life in Christ. And then, so you have the Exodus out, and we said that. A couple of scripture references. Very, very interesting. In Mark chapter 4, go on to the next one. There we go. Okay. In Mark chapter 1 and verses 9 to 11, when Jesus was baptized, and as he came up out of the water, Mark uses the words, he says that the heavens were split, and the word that he uses there in the Greek is called schizo, apart. The heavens were split apart, and the Heavenly Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so, but that word that's used there in the Greek, it was also used in the Greek Septuagint in Exodus chapter 14, when he says that the waters were divided, that Moses put his hand out over the water, and it says that God schizoed the water. He used the same word in the Greek Septuagint. So one more, Isaiah chapter 64 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence and make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence." Okay, boy, just a minute. All right. But interesting, again, Isaiah 64 saying that you would rend the heavens and come down. There he is, and it's that same picture. And in Isaiah 64, it is about him coming and establishing the kingdom on earth. And that's exactly what Jesus was happening at his baptism. And it's like God is saying he rent the heavens and saying this is the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom of heaven. And it continues through to this day, and one day he will be finished. One more. I've decided to follow Jesus. Vic, two hands. There you go, bud. Thank you. All right. So it's a declaration. 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about baptism. He says, "Baptism which corresponds to this, now this saves you, not as a removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal or a pledge to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him." And so it's interesting that this declaration that is being made, and Heiser makes the comment, "Baptism is not what produces salvation. It saves in that it reflects a heart decision, a pledge of loyalty to the risen Savior. In effect, baptism in New Testament theology is a loyalty oath, a public avowal of who is on the Lord's side in the cosmic war between good and evil." Baptism is making this a public statement, a declaration that I have decided to follow Jesus. I am on Jesus' side. That's the statement that's being made. And so, you know, we've talked before about, I've seen people who go through baptisms and then get sick, and all kinds of things start to happen because it is a spiritual conflict. And a lot of times the spiritual beings don't want people to be excited about following Jesus. And so I know we've prayed for Jana, and I know others have also prayed for Jana as she makes that statement and that commitment. And then in a minute here, we're gonna have the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is also a reaffirmation of that proclamation. He says that as we partake in communion, we do this until the Lord comes. We are making a statement that we are on the Lord's side. It is essentially a restating of the commitment that we made in our baptism. All right. Thanks, guys. Did a good job. All right. Thank you. Now we're going to have the music team come up, and we're going to sing a song, and then we're